Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Andrew P., the NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. You bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season, and you automatically receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN, that's code KSN, for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number one of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, let's start with our review of the news. The news of the week, the monster news, is the announcement of the alignment. The Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, they've gotten together and a monumental announcer to say, not a whole lot.
We have formed an alliance. We have formed an alliance. Okay, cool. What is the alliance based on? And the alliance is kind of based on a big old nothing burger, kind of, essentially, right? So there's what they were willing to say, what they were willing to talk about for the alliance. But more importantly, and I think this is what you and I want to talk about a lot, Jim, is what they really didn't say, right? What did they really not say about this alliance? They talked about the, you know, like-minded institutions academically, blah, 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 whatever. And I mean, I understand it. It's universities. That matter. They talked about, you know, athletic programs and both having robust athletic programs and sponsoring a lot of sports and all of that. Okay, whatever. Come on. This is about football. This is about the SEC being an alpha dog in the room. And this is about, for these three conferences, and I think both of them benefit, all three of them benefit. It's the Big Ten and the other two. Even though Clemson's in the ACC, it's the Big Ten and the other two when it comes to football, scheduling, revenue, marquee games, et cetera, et cetera. It's the Big Ten, then it's the ACC and the Pac-12. It benefits all three of them in a little bit of a different way, but it's all about how do we keep, you know, sort of the SEC from being the gobble monster in the room. I think this also puts a little bit of a delay in the 12-team football playoff, which looked like it was speeding down the tracks. Well, now this is going to slow down a little bit because of what the SEC did and this alliance. But it was a lot of nothing burger, but it's about football. Let's just call it what it is, right? I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think this was about revenue, university revenue, and football. And that other stuff is relevant, but it really wasn't why they did this.
Well, I totally disagree with you, Andrew. I think this is all about a gentleman's agreement, their alignment on the academic side, and social justice. Okay? That's what this is all about. Come on. Yeah.
Okay, okay, Jimmy, come on. Sell me. I'm ready. Convince me.
You're able to see me, Andrew P. I couldn't even keep a straight face as I was saying it. You're right. You know, I don't know why they bothered with this announcement. What this is about is not just about football. It's mostly about revenue. And where it breaks down to two things. One, the SEC was looking to dominate college football. The rest of these conferences are saying, not so fast. We want to have something to say also. The second part about this, obviously, revenue. But how does revenue happen? Here's how. You have marquee matchups. So
absolutely.
Texas and Oklahoma enter the Southeast Conference. All of a sudden, you're going to have games like Oklahoma versus Alabama, Oklahoma versus Georgia. Those are huge, huge games. Now, where I think this alliance is really smart, if they get to where they want to get to, which is these cross-conference games, where you could have an Ohio State versus Clemson, Penn State versus USC, that brings eyeballs to the TV and that brings revenue.
Yeah, it's certainly about marquee games, but there's a scheduling component to this that will need to be worked out, right? Like, you know, how many games do you have with the other conference? How many other conferences? How many do you play in your conference? You know, each one set up differently. It seems like a universal thing that I found very interesting was 8 games inside your own conference, right? Which allows you to get enough games to, you know, create a path to your championship game, right? Each one's still going to have its own championship game. They had to be careful. They have to be careful with those. But then that gives you those 4 games, which to me, this alliance eliminates the sort of the 3-game cupcake schedule to a degree that we've all been used to, right? Like 3 out of your 4 non-conference games or your 3 non-conference games being cupcakes. The SEC is still going to have that. This alliance will kind of eliminate that to a natural by natural course because they're going to play each other is what they're going to be exploring. And it's 100% about what you're talking about. What are the marquee ones inside that crossover schedule? What are the, you know, what are the marquee games? And each conference, the Big Ten's the alpha dog among these 3. But each conference brings something to the table. You've got USC, you've got Oregon, you've got Washington, to a lesser degree UCLA coming out of the Pac-12. In the ACC, you've still got Florida State, you've still got Miami, you've still got, obviously you have Clemson. So, and there's some, you know, regional stuff that comes in there. I just want to throw one thing out quick. The big loser in this is the poor Big 12 teams that are left lost on their own island. They are so far stranded on their own, like paddling and trying to figure out what to do next. And that's unfortunate for them. They can thank Texas and Oklahoma for that. But it's so fascinating to me. And it is about revenue. You said that it's about revenue first and revenue equals football. And this is all about football. It's very enticing how they'll figure it out. But I think it's really, really good. It's better for the Pac-12 and the ACC to some degree, because they're getting the marquee that comes from the Big Ten. The Big Ten is not far behind the SEC in terms of revenue, marquee games, the number of teams that play marquee games, those big marquee money games that you talked about. The Big Ten on its own accord is not that far behind the SEC. You throw in the weight of the ACC and the Pac-12, that makes the 3 conference alliance, boy, they're going to be right there with the alpha dog in the room, which is the SEC.
You know, Andy, you mentioned the Big 12. The fact is, with Oklahoma and Texas gone, there is not a team in the Big 12 that's a marquee team. And
correct.
This past week, Andy Staples in The Athletic wrote a wonderful article where he called it the 4 million club, which is games that were big enough to draw 4 million viewers. And then right. He broke down the rankings of the teams that were involved in those 4 million viewer games, and he ranked the teams. He put out a top 4. There's 14 teams that have had double-digit games over like a 5-year span. And if you break down those 14 teams, 7 of them are in the Southeast Conference, 4 of them are in the Big Ten, so that's 11 out of the 14. The other 3 teams, Oklahoma, who's jumping to the Southeast Conference, Notre right. Dame, who flirts with the ACC, and Clemson, obviously an ACC team. The Big 12, nobody's left there that's an attractive draw, that's a big game. Now, the other thing you mentioned was the scheduling of the games, and it gets a little complicated because there are commitments for several years. But the way to jumpstart it is really pretty easy. If you're the Big Ten, you have 9 games where you play 6 against your division and 3 cross-division games. You eliminate 1 cross-division game, And you open up the schedule, and all of a sudden, and if you look, just use Penn State this year as an example, Auburn, who might be, what, the fifth or sixth most popular team in the Southeast Conference, Penn State fans are going gaga over this game because you got a big name coming to town that you haven't seen before. So I think this cross-conference scheduling is wonderful. It's wonderful for the fans. It's wonderful for the conference. They'll make more money, much more interest. I don't see a downside to it, Andy.
No, I'm struggling to see a downside too, and that's why I said it. The Big Ten's muscle helps the Pac-12 and the ACC, but they also bring, you know, something to the table that they like. But I mean, I think in COVID, one of the things, and we're seeing that already in 2021's schedule, which was set. But the conference schedule was adjusted post-COVID. And look at these first week games, Wisconsin, Penn State. Illinois, Nebraska kicks off in, you know, this coming Saturday. Illinois and Nebraska are playing each other. Fans and scheduling, and I think this is a twist in college football. They don't want the cupcakes anymore, right? One of the things that I think came out of COVID was the number of games that were played, they were all sort of meaningful, right? They mattered. There weren't any, like, you know, of the cupcake, you know, sort of FCS schools or, you know, MAC schools and that kind of stuff. There weren't those last year, and I think fans like them. And I think that eliminates it. You're exactly right. Go from 9 to 8 if you're a Big Ten school, 6 in your conference, 2 crossovers in your conference, and then you go 4 either from the Pac-12 or the ACC, and that's where they have to sit down and figure out how to do equitable scheduling, and they'll figure that out. But it's so enticing because the opportunity for even the 4 million, you know, viewership games, but even you go to 2 to 3 to 3.5 million games. There's a lot of those second tier ones that aren't like the 4 million ones that are still really, really, really good college football matchups. Florida State and Ohio State. How interesting would that be? Michigan and Miami.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I thought this Penn State-Wisconsin schedule early game, I thought that would happen prior to COVID, Andy. But regardless, by placing big games early in the season, out of conference, you're going to get a lot more eyeballs. And the reason for scheduling cupcakes was always, let me get a 3-0 fast start, 3 automatic wins, which I need if I want to get to the 4-team playoffs. It ties into that 12-team playoffs where I could afford a loss and still make it. All right, Andrew P., that is it for quarter number one. Stick around, quarter number two, it's Tucker's Tape.
The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.